What's up, Fandom Night? Episode 24. So you who too?
Welcome to another What's Up?
What's up, everybody?
What's up? Oh, wait, wrong thing. I'm Scott Action Jackson.
Shane McCree, Proto Guy.
And I'm Lol GT, or Greg. How you doing?
And we're doing a So You Want to Who edition of What's Up.
Yes.
And first, let's whore out the website, because the website is a whore.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right guys, I'll leave you alone.
So this episode is just a general talk about, you know, if you've never watched Doctor Who or anything like that, and you've always, you know, you're curious about it, where to start, if there's any episodes that we can suggest you watch.
Certain episodes, specific doctors, eras.
Right, and then just a basic, you know, description on how we all got into it, you know, where did we start and what got us into the series. So
yeah, I mean let's just go and start off with that. I mean, for me it'd be recap, because there was a video that was done on, I think it was part of Rupwood Productions. It was like me and Nick covering the Day of the Doctor special and I think the Matt Smith years, but in that I just said how I was first introduced more or less with the Matt Smith Fourth Doctor years by seeing one of the intros and not watching a full episode until later on with the Matt Smith years, and then been backtracking somewhat and watching everything since. So what about you, Shane?
I'm a little bit different. I used to bash Doctor Who. Said it was stupid, boring, ignorant, because I was, when it comes to those kind of sci-fi, I was more into Star Trek than it was Doctor Who, and
normal sci-fi fans are,
and I was, I gave my, everybody a hard time with it, because I was like, well, it's stupid, and I was told that I started on the Christopher Eccleston, which I was told that if I can get past him, the show does pick up. So I don't know what it was. I honestly don't. I was sitting here watching TV. I was on Hulu just watching stuff and found Doctor Who, and I was like, I didn't watch it initially at first. I kept passing it up. And then eventually I was like, you know, I'm bored. I got nothing else to do. And so I gave it another shot. Because I initially watched like the first two episodes. I know it's not enough to really, you know, judge a series, but I didn't really care for the episodes. So, I was like, this series sucks. I don't know why everyone's into it. But then I sat down, and I actually gave it a real fucking try, and made it through all of his, Eccleston's era. One season that he was in it. And,
yeah, the one season he did.
And, once I got past him and, David Tennant, showed up, I was more into the show than I ever was, because he was an awesome doctor. And unlike the rest of my colleagues on the show, I am not completely done with the series or waiting for the new episodes. I'm still on the Matt Smith era.
You're catching up.
I was binge-watching it like crazy, and then I didn't want to burn myself out, so I took a break. I've actually taken... The break has lasted for months now, to be fair. And then when I found out that the new episodes weren't going to be coming out until next year...
Yeah, I mean... Well, plus it's going to be like the last year season for Moffat, who's been writing most of the series, so...
And then I'm most likely the last season for Capaldi.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, unless they get some kind of agreement or something.
Right. It's what it seems like. It's been 3 years... per doctor, because, you know, David Tennant was 3 seasons, Matt Smith is 3 seasons, you know, Capaldi is on his 3rd season, so.
Yeah, I mean.
And they casted a new companion.
Yeah.
So, well, that'll be interesting to when I get there. I'm not there yet, obviously.
From what I've seen, me saying, yeah, is a light way for me to explain it. Because it's not exactly somebody who I thought they would have selected.
But, that is... I was basically introduced with everybody explaining to me that I need to give the show an actual...
A chance.
A real try, not just watch 2 episodes and be like, oh, that was gay.
Because you kind of did that, kind of, with some of the Power Rangers shows. Except it was more like 5 episodes-ish.
Well, every American show.
That every Power Rangers, yeah, American
I
Power
watched
Rangers.
At least a few episodes on every series just to get a general idea of what it was about. But no, that's how I got into Doctor Who, and then obviously, like I said, I started with Christopher Eccleston, so you're talking the... You're talking the 9th Doctor is where I started.
Although you started during, like, I think Matt Smith's run, though, didn't you?
What do you mean?
I mean, what was the present Doctor when you started? Was it during the...
Oh, I get you. No, believe it or no, when I started watching this show... The Doctor that was on television right now, at the time I started, was actually Capaldi.
Okay, so it was around like the early first
yes,
full
yes.
season.
Yes, I okay. started watching it. I want to say I started watching Who during
It's just Shane's phone. Don't worry.
I apologize for my phone. I will take care of that in a sec.
So, Shane started watching Who, the 9th Doctor, Eccleston, during the time that Peter Capaldi's first season, full season, started, because previously he had a guest appearance in the Day of the Doctor episode, which I don't know if I don't think you've gotten to that part yet, so.
Day of the Doctor, no.
Yeah, because that's during, like, the end of Matt Smith's run, so.
Yeah, no, I'm not there. I know where I'm at.
Yeah.
So
at this point, let's let Greg have a little shout out here, since he's part of this discussion too.
Greg, how did you get into Doctor Who the first time around?
Yeah, so my entrance into Doctor Who the first time was a little crazy. There's a lot of people I know that are in Doctor Who, and they've been into it for a long time, and I always thought, man, I'm in my own. More nerdy. Hello?
Whoa, you're kind of echoing, fading in and out of time and space here. All right, so let's try again.
All right.
So, Greg, how did you first get brought into Doctor Who the long way around or whatever?
Yeah, it was a long way around. So I've always been into, you know, geek culture, I guess you'd call it, and things like that, always anime and... video games and, you know, building computers and stuff anyway. So, like comic books and things like that. And I always thought that I was pretty nerdy. And then I thought that people that like Doctor Who were a little even more nerdy, I guess. They're on the really far end of the spectrum. I kind of thought about it the way I thought about people that dressed up as Harry Potter characters at conventions. So I always meant to try to watch it to, you know, get a handle on things. And then, you know, actually it's kind of random where, I knew a lot of people that would dress as David Tennant and they would say, oh, you got to watch it. This guy's so awesome. So I knew who he was and I knew he was the doctor and I knew about the TARDIS. I didn't know the name of it though, really, but I knew he had a police call box and all that. So, yeah. So then fast forward a little bit after I initially heard of it and saw it at conventions, I was just sitting at home one day flipping through, TV channels. And I remember I went to, you know, just flipping through and I stopped on BBC because I actually had like really good cable back then or whatever. And, it was actually a really expensive cable, but, I stopped on the BBC channel and, it looked like some sci-fi thing was on and I was like, oh, I'll watch this. And it was actually, found out later it's Waters of Mars.
One of the last David Tennant special episode things.
Yeah. And so what really got me interested in it is that, as I was watching Waters of Mars, I was probably on my computer messing around or doing homework or something as well. But when I had seen it happen, the end of it, he had those creepy guys. I think it was the end of that episode, that special where they, like, he knew his death was coming. Those guys that told him he was going to die or whatever. And I'm really weird about it now because I actually didn't even watch a lot of David Tennant stuff even after I saw that. But I went and started watching as the new season popped up with Matt Smith. So I started watching there pretty much and saw the death of David Tennant first before I ever knew anything he had ever done, really, besides Waters of Mars. So, yeah, I after that, though, I was hooked. I mean, just a little bit of information on it. And then after I saw Matt Smith, it was a little tough to swallow when I first saw his personality, but then fell in love with it. It's my favorite Doctor so far.
Did you try backtracking to any of the other previous first
Well, I did, and I watched a few Tennant episodes, and then I didn't really want to, because, you know, I was on the Matt Smith kick, and I didn't want to cut anything in between it and start binge-watching, like, an infinite amount of it, so I cut back on it, and I know I went and saw, oh, man, like, he was the one where he was fighting the Master.
I think that was part of the final Tennant arc. The final two-parter, so.
I think he fought him one other time before that, didn't he?
I think he ran into him when he was first discovered as the Master.
Right, yeah.
During Tennant's run.
Yeah, I think I went and watched that on purpose, or whatever, like someone told me about it. And then I went back and tried to watch the newest reboot, you know, the initial second.
Eccleston?
Yes, that actor with Rose and all that, so. I was watching that, and he was a little weird, and it was really hard to swallow, and you could see how the show had evolved from him in their first initial, like, rebooting days, and then I think David Tennant and then Matt Smith took it off to a whole new craze, whatever. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once... Eggleston more or less just, I guess, helped restart it, because... He didn't quite know what he was stepping into unless he actually saw some of the older stuff.
Right. Yeah. It didn't seem like it. I don't know. I just kind of, like, he was just a really weird doctor. Like, maybe for me, he was just overly cocky, and maybe people like that as a character. But, you know, nowadays when you see the doctor, he's pretty calm and humble. But then, I don't know, like the Matt Smith one, he's really calm and humble. But then when someone would do something, he's like, you're messing with my friends, kind of thing, and then he would do something badass.
So is Tennant kind of like your favorite one then, or?
No, Matt Smith?
My favorite
one. Yeah, he's the one that I guess I would say I grew up with pretty much, because he's the only one that I watched. The first time I watched Doctor Who was him straight through, and then everybody else that like talked to me about Doctor Who, they loved David Tennant because that's who they got really in on it from, like, a couple years ago, so before him, you know, I don't know a lot of people that like Eccleston, like, at all. Like, there's not a whole lot of people, but they like all his, like, companions and things. And
When you first got into Doctor Who, I mean, when was it that, what current Doctor was going on while it was happening?
That was Matt Smith.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt Smith. That's why he's my favorite, yeah. So, you know, then, but I gave, like I said, I gave Tennant and them a chance, so when people would... So tell me, oh, this episode's really good, or go back to this one, or you need to watch David Tennant all the way through,
And then one person said, start at Eccleston. And I tried really hard, but I still haven't watched all the Eccleston ones. But I know Shane has.
Yeah.
And that's really crazy, unless they started getting really good.
So another part of this discussion is us trying to guess where people would probably jump in as far as, like, episodes, which doctor, which era. I mean, you said it yourself, you jumped in on the ninth, the rebooted time of Doctor Who.
Yes. Like I said, I started with the ninth Doctor. So, you know, you're thinking, oh, this is the ninth Doctor. I mean, I know there were eight more that came before him. If anybody knows me, I don't actually care for older movies and shows. I mean, there are times where I will go backwards and watch. I mean, depending on, you know, what it is, you know.
If it covers a specific plot or something.
Yeah. I'm just... Everybody knows that I'm into the newer stuff. And, I mean, I figure eventually, just to see the other doctors, that I would, I might go back. I know it's weird to watch, you know, the newer stuff, then go back and watch the older stuff, but, you know, I seen the reboot and, or the revitalized, stuff, which is, you know, Eccleston, Tennant, Smith, and then Capaldi. Right now, I am still currently in the Matt Smith era. And, like I said, I took a break because now that I know that the new episodes won't come out till next year,
you gotta watch.
I've got plenty of time. Like I told you, I didn't want to burn myself out by just binge watching it continuously. I binge watched it up till season 6, which is the second season of Matt Smith, and that's where I am going to continue here. I don't know when. I know it'll be before the new episodes come out, but I would probably say that if you do not like older series, or older TV shows or movies and stuff, I would say start with the revitalized, the reboot or whatever you want to call it, of Doctor Who. I would tell you to start with David Tennant, but you need to watch the Eccleston stuff because it all adds, I mean, it builds a story. It's telling a tale and you need to watch his stuff. He's not a very good, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and tell you that he was an awful doctor. I will sit there and tell you that he is very different compared to the others. It's really hard to put into words.
Almost every doctor tries to be a little bit different, but then again, they also try to be the same.
Every doctor carries over traits. For his previous life, but at the same time changes personalities is really the best way to put it. And Eccleston's personality, I mean, it was really difficult to grasp, you know, how well of a doctor he could have been because he only lasted a year. So for
what we know now, Eccleston was more or less playing the role of a survivor.
Yeah. But, so, that's where I would tell you to start. I mean, if you're into the old stuff, if you want to see it from the first Doctor, then I would say start with the old series. I mean, there are points in the newer stuff, you know, they reference the older stuff. So, and I, you know, for me, when they do that, I'm like, fascinating. There is one series, in David Tennant's, run, he encounters a woman who actually was his companion back when he was the third and fourth Doctor. Now, for me, if you've seen all those Doctors, then when you seen that character, you were like, oh my God, I know who you are.
She's much older.
Oh yeah.
And the weird thing is she did get her own spin-off series too.
Which lasted a little while, yeah.
Yeah.
When I seen that episode and I seen how she knew who he was and everything, and
she saw the TARDIS.
And I was like, how do you know him? And then when they explained that, you know, she used to be a companion, I was like, oh my. There's a reference right there to
the older stuff.
Yeah, back she was the companion. She was the companion when he was the third Doctor.
And the fourth.
And the fourth.
She left him when he was the fourth.
Yeah. It's really strange, you know, when you say him, because the Doctor, you know, all these Doctors are the same person, but they're different. Like, you know, he remembers everything. That's the thing. That's the thing that always jumps to the next life, is that he remembers his, you know, his previous.
Mostly. I mean, there's the cases when he runs into himself when he doesn't always remember, because it kind of gets fixed up.
Right. For the most part, he remembers, like, he remembers every companion he's ever had. And that was interesting. That was actually a really good episode.
The person that Shane's going on about is Sarah Jane.
Thank you. I could not remember the name. But no, yeah, when she was introduced, it was actually a really good episode, because I was wondering how she knew who the Doctor was. There's an episode to tell you to watch, like one of those. So many episodes.
The first episode of the revisited Doctor, rebooted, is called Rose. So that's the kickoff point Shane is reference to for.
Yes, Rose. That was a companion that lasted long, for 2 years. You know, 2 seasons she lasted. When you look at Eccleston, and you look at Tennant and Smith, you know, you look at, because right now that's the only Doctors I know of. So when you look at those three Doctors, and you look at Rose, you know, then he had,
for a while he didn't have anyone.
He was by himself for a little bit.
And then he changed into Matt Smith.
Well, he actually had two,
Oh yeah, he had Donna.
In Tennant's last run as the Doctor, Donna was his companion. Before that was
I forgot her name. I know who she.
Yeah. Right now I know her last name, Jones.
Yeah. But she was an African American woman who was his companion for a while.
For one season, and David Tennant's first year, he had Rose. So Rose was his companion for his first run.
Although she did pop in.
She came back. And they all came back for episode, for, you know, here and there. But for, there were like some specials. Everybody knows, I mean, if you're into Doctor Who and you're listening to this, you know that every year there's a Christmas special. And it seems like every Christmas special, he doesn't have a companion. It's just what it seems like, you know, because, at least from what I've watched, I'm sure it's different where they're at now, but every Christmas special going into it, he didn't have a companion. One of my favorite episodes is the Titanic Christmas special.
Oh,
because
did you see the thing just before that though?
I've watched all the episodes in that.
It wasn't an episode.
Then it
was like a comic relief, UK comic relief type video that they did. It had a Tennant's Doctor, meeting up with Peter Davidson's doctor.
Now, that old man that was in the on the boat, that wasn't a he wasn't a previous doctor, was he? Or
no?
Okay. Then no, I didn't see that.
No, it was like I don't think it was like it's something like Comic Relief that the UK does, where they raise money by calling people and stuff. But once in a while, the BBC and Doctor Who does like a separate video for them.
Okay.
To help raise money, and this is one of those cases. David Tennant, I guess, it was just prior to him hitting the Titanic somehow, but his TARDIS apparently somehow merged with Peter Davidson's TARDIS, and somehow they met face to face. And wow. Peter Davidson at first thought he was a fan.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, but that, if you're able to check it online on YouTube and stuff, look it up, because it's actually the weird thing is David Tennant married Peter Davidson's daughter.
Yes, I
And the daughter actually plays David Tennant's daughter on the show, which is weird, really weird.
Yeah, I did hear about that because
it is some weird timey-wimey stuff.
He said that was his favorite doctor growing up because he was a huge Doctor Who fan. And I can't remember what number doctor that guy was.
Peter Davidson?
Yeah. Like I said, we haven't really watched a great deal of the older stuff.
I've been trying to. Trying to is the key word.
Yeah, Scott has actually started to. I have not even.
Which actually might jump into where I would probably recommend people to jump in. Which, if you're wanting to, like Shane says, you can jump in at the very beginning. The first, well, if you can find it, you'll probably have to find it either online or the video or DVD, Blu-ray of the pilot. It was called The Unearthly Child, which introduced everyone to this crotchety old man whose telephone police box is in a junkyard. And it more or less covered the doctor's granddaughter at the time was attending the school. I think it's either junior high or something like that. But his granddaughter's teachers followed her to the junkyard. His granddaughter's name was Susan, which I think even some of the later on doctors even miss Susan. And even Capaldi himself wishes that they could go back and revisit Susan at some point. But,
well, the first companion.
Yeah, she was the first companion because she left with the doctor from Gallifrey and stole a TARDIS. But even though something else will come up in the Matt Smith years about the TARDIS actually stealing him or something like that, which I don't know if you got to that part yet or not.
I do know, well, obviously. I do know that the TARDIS is a living entity.
Yeah.
That was made of, you know, I saw that with the Tennant doctor, that it was a living entity, and they explained what the TARDIS is, why, you know, a lot of people made fun of the fact that when he wants to go somewhere, when he finally puts in the coordinates where he wants to go, it always takes him somewhere different.
Not exactly the same place, or not exactly the same time he wants to. I mean, there are some times when it does.
Yeah, there are times where he puts the coordinates in that he wants to go, and he goes. Well, and I was always like making fun of it, like, well, dude, you kind of suck at time traveling because you want to go somewhere, and every time you do something, you go to the wrong time, or you go to the wrong year, or the wrong place. Come to find out that the TARDIS goes where the TARDIS believes the doctor needs to be, and I thought that was interesting. So I'm like, wow, Cove, so your police box is alive. It's not just a machine. It's literally alive, and it knows when when you're needed, and when you're needed, it takes you there against your will. To be fair,
But not all the time,
though. Not all the time, but for the most part, it's interesting. I mean, I won't lie to you, the science behind Doctor Who is a little weird.
Yeah, it is a bit wonky.
It's not a, I mean, can you actually sit there and say that any sci-fi, you know, show or movie you watch, I mean, the science, I mean, it is, there's not some parts of the science that is weird.
Well, I mean, Star Trek, as far as science, is getting close to reality. I mean, it's probably as close as any sci-fi show is gonna get.
So, well, listen, if you wanna, don't make the mistake I did. Comparing Doctor Who and Star Trek is, they're not even close to the same, to be fair. You know, if you're a Trekkie, which I like Star Trek a lot, I may not be as hardcore into it as some.
Like Bill,
but I am into it. I really do like it. But this, you know, the storylines and the science and all that I do like. But when it comes to Doctor Who is, I'm into my third Doctor, and I still have questions, you know, because I don't understand. Like, I understand the TARDIS a little better. I don't completely understand the sonic screwdriver because it's advanced as shit, but can't do nothing with wood. I understand that they said that wood
is... That is a bit weird.
Well, from what I was told, that wood is too primitive of an element, and because the thing is so advanced, that wood is so primitive that it can't do nothing with it. I understand wood is it's fucking old as shit. But come on. Wood? I mean, that's a stupid weakness. Not gonna lie. And I don't quite understand what it's capable of. Because a lot of the times I see him unlock doors or cut chains or do stuff with it, and I'm like, you know, I'm pretty sure that thing can do a lot more than just open your door.
Well, I can warn you ahead of time. There's a period during a recent season of Capaldi, a lot of the season, that he doesn't have the sonic screwdriver. But you'll see that when you get to it. And you'll probably be missing the sonic screwdriver.
Yes, he does get something else, and I was told, and certain people like it, but a lot of fans hated it. I don't know how I'm going to feel about it until I get there. But basically, we can recommend episodes.
Oh. Let's let Greg get his recommendations, though.
Very well. Let's let them do that.
So, Greg, where do you think would be a good starting point for people to jump into Doctor Who?
Oh, man, you know what? I would almost just say, David Tennant, because everybody really likes him a lot. And I get it. I see his style. So even though I say Matt Smith is my favorite one, like, you know, I like him more because he was, like, quirky and weird. But David Tennant kind of was more of a badass, I guess, I would say. I think he just carried himself kind of well, I would say, for a hero kind of character. So, you know, and he's a handsome young guy. I mean, he wasn't, you know, so I don't know. He's just very appealing when you look at him and stuff. And he's very, like I don't know, he's just like a hero guy. So I get it. People like him a lot, but I don't know, after watching all Matt Smith first, I couldn't go back to... You know, I couldn't go back and say he was my favorite, but I'm telling you, if you go anywhere, people love, you know, they love David Tennant. So I would definitely tell people to start off at that. But back when you and I were going to talk about this before and we watched the original pilot.
Yeah, we discussed it, and yeah. We probably watched it separately, even though we wanted to try to do some kind of review, which
is
something that we could try and touch up on later, but that's probably whenever.
Shane should watch it too if he wants to get in on it, because I mean, you know, it was just really good. It was like really, really good for a pilot. I think it was a little slow, and obviously it's old video, but once the story got started, you're like, oh man, I don't know, it just kind of like had its own little subtle twist, and it almost wasn't even about the Doctor at all in the episode. It was like the is like a really awkward introduction to him, so it's made a really good experience.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely an awkward... A lot of people would say the very first one, and maybe the rebooted Eccleston Ninth Doctor, is kind of awkward ones to start in, but it's like, you know, you can't ignore one without the other.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so I would say start there, for sure.
So you're saying start with Tennant?
Yeah. Yeah, and just to see if you like it, because I guess Tennant would be the one where if you really like that, I mean, I don't know, it's just really easy to like him as a character and as a doctor, and his companions are really cool. Of course, nowadays, though, things change, and people watch, if they watch DC's Legend of Tomorrow, if they watch a couple movies like Oculus and stuff like that, they have Matt Smith's companions from the show when he was on there are now like movie stars and TVs, like big, really big TV stars and stuff. And, so maybe if people watch Legends of Tomorrow, it'd be nice to see Rip Hunter as Rory in a, you know, in a Doctor Who episode. Well, and, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the woman who was, Clara, she's going to be in a Elizabeth, series for the BBC or one of the BBC channels too coming up.
Oh, really? Yeah, I could see that. I could see that, yeah. Yeah, and those things make people happy. And also, you know, I don't know. I was trying to stay away from saying that Matt Smith is the best one to start with, but his storylines are, I don't know, like, they just seem to, they all went full circle. So all of them pretty much connect to each other.
I think they tried.
Yeah.
But I think there was still some questions that was left out there for next Doctors to try and answer.
Yeah, because I think the first season was an entire story arc. I didn't even see it coming. Like, they had all their other issues, and then you ended up finding out what was going on, and you're like, oh my goodness, that's an awesome way to wrap it around. But I think that's a comic book geek in me that likes to see the story, like, have one little detail in the beginning that wraps to the end, so, you know, and help save the day or whatever.
And of course, you know, David Tennant, when he took over as the Doctor, every person who becomes the Doctor tries to take in all the experiences of the previous Doctors and kind of make it their own with that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So then you're definitely saying Tennant, probably the first Tennant episode?
Yeah. Yeah, watch at least. See, and it always takes a while to get used to stuff, so I would say watch the first.
I think,
or something.
I think the first Tennant episode, well, full one, was probably the one, I think was this, the Doctor Who Christmas special, where he got his first full episode.
Yeah, that's usually how they kind of do it, yeah. He's probably...
Because after that is when they actually officially kicked off the next season, so...
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I say watch a few episodes, don't just try one and say, ugh, I don't like Doctor Who, because trust me, the first Matt Smith episode I watched was a little hard to swallow, but after I had seen Waters on Mars, I thought, well, I'll keep watching till I see another episode that I really connect with, and then it was like the next episode. So then I was like, oh man, nice, timey-wimey stuff, I get it now. I totally get it, yeah.
Which is something a lot of the crews, well, I know me, Shane, have been referencing a few quotes from Doctor Who lately, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to get on it too, but they're just being stubborn like I was for years when everybody else watches it, so, you know, but the more they wait, the longer they'll be behind.
Yeah, they'll have a lot to try and take in, especially if they try to go back to the original stuff, like I kind of was doing for a while, was trying to catch back up with the older stuff, so.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to see the really old stuff all the way through, but, yeah.
I don't know, I mean, to be fair, I don't know, actually quite know the episode's names, so there are a lot of episodes I would recommend, but specific ones, for me, I believe that you should just give the series a shot, just depending on where you want to start with. If you want to start with the older stuff, there's nothing I can say about it. I can't give you any advice on it because I haven't seen anything. I do plan on trying it out. You know, the show came out in the 60s, so, I mean...
I think there's maybe one or two kinds of Doctor Who we can recommend you not seeing. There was two weird movies made.
Yes.
It was like Dr. Who, not Doctor Who. It was Peter Cushing was starring in two movies, which covered, I think, eras of the first Doctor's reign, involving the Daleks and stuff.
Well, I will tell you that the Eighth Doctor is a movie Doctor.
Yeah, it was a little, I think it was a Fox TV movie that he did, and then later on they just released it onto DVD and stuff.
Yes, the Eighth Doctor did not actually have seasons. He is the only one that had that was just in a movie, and that was it.
Yeah, it was just a special.
Yeah, so that was weird.
But he did come back for a special for the anniversary, so.
The anniversary, which I will see in season 7, which will be Matt Smith's last season. I believe so, the anniversary.
Was it 7 or 8?
Oh, no, because 8 would start Capaldi.
Okay.
Because
for me, when I hear these 8th season, 7th season, I'm like, but that's like still the 10th or 11th and 12th Doctor. So it's like, shouldn't it be like 33rd season?
Right, yeah.
It's weird.
It is, but it's actually an interesting show. I mean, you know, I learned there were a lot of episodes that I was really into, and then just like with any long running series, there were episodes where I really had problems, you know, focusing. But I bared through it. I watched it. I gave it a shot. And now I have I guess I'm not as far as everybody else, but I do have more of an opinion. And I can tell you that I would recommend the show if you're into sci-fi.
And fantasy.
And fantasy. And
probably a little bit of comedy, too.
Comedy, time travel. If you're into that kind of stuff, give it a shot. Please understand that the science doesn't make any sense. But just bear with that. It can be goofy. Just bear with it, and I promise you that I believe you might enjoy it.
I think it's like the first season might be the difficult ones to get through. The first, whether you're starting with the old or the rebooted one, the first ones are going to be kind of difficult to get through.
They're also shorter. So, yeah, if you want to start with the first Doctor or the ninth Doctor, because those are the ones that started the... That's where your season ones are, because it was rebooted or revitalized or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So season Doctor 9 is season 1, and then Doctor 1 is season 1. So wherever you want to start, and hell, you don't even have to technically start. You don't have to watch the first Doctor to understand what's going on. That's the good thing about the show. Like, I watched Eccleston, and I mean, there were things where I was like, okay, I'm not quite sure what they're talking about. But I would say like 98% of the show, I understand what's going on. There are certain things that I don't understand.
Which you might have to go back and backtrack to some of the older stuff.
Yeah. A few, like I said, there are references and stuff that I don't quite get because I didn't watch the older stuff. But that is up to you. You know, we could sit here and recommend Doctors. I mean, I recommend David Tennant, but like I said, you need to watch the other stuff. You need to watch Eccleston stuff to get a better idea of what's going on. Because you can't, if you watch David Tennant, then you don't know how he became a doctor. What happened? You know, what happened to Eccleston? You know, you got to watch that. And it does build, you know, it all just telling a story. And you just have to get through him. I understand that it's weird to tell you to. I promise the show will get better, but you have to force yourself through the first part.
More or less, the first part of it, just try and take in the knowledge that you gain through it about the characters and stuff.
So, but that's where we all... Oh, yes, I apologize for all this yawning.
It's too early for Shane. That's simple.
But it's really all up to you. I would say if you have Hulu, hop on it, because that's where I was watching it. Hop on it and give it a shot, you know? Just watch. To get a good idea of it, I would watch the first 5 episodes. Just bear with it, because it is a little strange, but that's what I would say. It doesn't matter which way, where you start. You don't even have to start with the first or ninth. You could sit there and like, you know, I feel like starting with the 4th Doctor, who was actually the longest running Doctor.
Yeah, which is why I'm kind of surprised about some of these like 3-year runs or whatever.
Oh yeah, he was the Doctor for like 7 years.
Actually, I think the very first Doctor lasted a long while as well.
Until he couldn't do it anymore. The first Doctor is actually one of the oldest Doctors. He was an older guy. But you gotta look at it like you can start wherever you want, but it will get a little confusing because you don't know what happened with the previous Doctors. That's why starting with the 9th Doctor or the 1st Doctor is what I recommend, just to get your footing.
And to actually see the 9th or the very first Doctor, there are ways to do it besides from Hulu. They have released on DVD, and I think they're trying to re-release some of it onto Blu-ray, aside from the sets that they're doing with the more recent Doctors. As far as the first one, there was a special that they did around the time of the 50th anniversary called Adventure in Space and Time, where they kind of did a TV special movie exploring the birth of Doctor Who and stuff like that. But on the Blu-ray set, you did also get the pilot episode as well, on a DVD as well. So, that's something else you can do as far as the early stuff, as well as probably check online with, like, YouTube and other video sources that way.
Alright.
Yeah.
Well, that is really all we have for today.
Yeah, I think we more or less covered the main things to go through. I mean, unless the people want to hear some more Doctor Who stuff from us, which we've kind of started branching out already, so...
So, yeah, I mean, just give it a shot. And, you know, if you like Doctor Who, then stick with it. I mean, I plan on picking it back up here soon. But...
Have you tried getting any of the Blu-rays or DVDs yet?
No. I haven't bought anything. I've been streaming all mine on Hulu, so...
Because I know some of the Blu-rays and DVDs usually have some extra videos and stuff. So
yeah, but... Those are our opinions on where you should start. I understand we didn't really, you know, give that many episodes what you should see, but really, to be fair...
We could do something later on if people want us to cover it more thoroughly.
We could give you the top like 10 episodes that you must see or something like that.
Or at least the Doctor Who arcs to check out.
Yes. But really we just wanted to tell you guys, you know, this is a new thing, and you know, we wanted to let you know where to start and how I got into Doctor Who, which was funny, because I had to apologize to my friends for bashing the show, because I started to like it, so. But yeah, that's it for today's episode.
Yeah, so that's it for this What's Up.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.